Hi,
and welcome to another episode of From
the Lower Level.
I'm your host, Moshi.
And I'm Patrizio. And if you're wondering, where's Todd? Well, so am I. But he's getting divorced.
Well, now we can say it. What a crazy week it has been. The updates that have come out this week, like, imagine waking up, because, like, we're obviously a day ahead than the upper level. But imagine waking up on your Monday after, you know, a big weekend, you're heading into work, and it's like, zoom, 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 zoom. Like, the word on the street is wild.
I don't think, Moshi, that we're talking about the huge story here, right?
What's the huge story?
Budget cuts. That the Bravo, like, there are budget cuts. BravoCon delayed to 2025 and now redundancies.
Who's been made redundant? Oh, you mean the people who've been
fired? Who's been made redundant, Moshi? Have you opened up Instagram today?
I don't know if we can call those redundancies. But yes, I had heard that BravoCon has been moved to 2025. I think that that has less to do with budget cuts and more to do with they don't know who they should invite at this stage.
Well, that there's not going to be anyone, like, working at the network anymore that I can attend.
There are people at the network. It's not that, though. Like, we're going to talk about it. So, obviously, we are going to talk about all the different casting news that's happened this week, I suspect. You're the word on the street, man. So, I don't know. But we are going to round out Potomac because I have done something a bit loosey-loosey apple juicy over the last couple of weeks, which is like a psycho. I binge-watched all of season 8 of The Real Housewives of Potomac, and I've got opinions.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining me. You're welcome. Sorry. The thing is, I didn't even intend to Denise Richards you just then. Like, I'm dumber after watching Potomac. So that's why that happened. But I want to talk about all the juicy, juicy stuff. What's happening?
All right. Well, Moshi, I feel like it's only fitting to begin with an in memoriam. You know, I love my in memoriams. Well, there's been a few casualties in the last week since we've spoken.
Shots fired.
The acquaintance of the morally corrupt Faye Resnick, O.J. Simpson, character of Beverly Hills.
You said nothing to do with this. I did not want to talk about O.J. Simpson on this podcast.
He was like a whole plot line for a half a season of Beverly Hills, Moshi.
Sorry, he killed Nicole, so, like, he doesn't get talked about.
No, so let's start off. I mean, there's been so, so, so much. Yeah, like, I think BravoCon obviously being pushed out to 2025 in November. Like, it's not even, like, the start of the year. It'll be the end of the year, again, in Las Vegas.
I think that tracks, though, because – so what I was going to say before is I think they're making so many changes to the core Bravo lebs, which are the housewives – that I don't think they know which shows are going to be back, who's going to be fired. I think they need to focus on that so that we have, like, actual things to talk about come BravoCon. And then at the same time, they're bringing out, like, so many other shows are doing really, really great. So I guess it's like a time for them to sort of have a little bit more airtime.
I feel like there won't even be all these shows, like, out by the time BravoCon would have happened this year in any case. Like,
yeah, they wouldn't have had anything to announce yet, right? So I feel like it's right for them to make BravoCon happen every second year. I think it's also, like, just so expensive.
Yes. But we got the Dubai trailer this week.
Habibi, it was so good.
I mean, that my, you know what my issue is? It's Caroline's old face. You know what I mean? Like, I've moved on. Like, I've accepted the new face. Like, that's who I know her as now. Like, to have to
look new face back. Make an appearance in this season?
No, she got her facelift done like after it wrapped.
Damn.
Like the season, like the in the trailer, like Caroline is talking about like her embryo. She should be talking about her upcoming facelift.
True. Okay, well, I mean, Caroline's new face aside, I really enjoyed the trailer. To me, it feels like these women have, like, done a bit of the homework. They've gotten a point of view. They saw themselves on telly last season, and they're like, ah, that's kind of what we did wrong. This is what we need to do better.
I don't ride the Stan wagon. I only ride G's.
Thank you.
Well, I think it's like the shifting dynamics, right? We've got like the Lisa Milan and Ayan feud. Obviously, the Caroline Stanbury and Ayan like romance. We've got new housewife Talene, who seems like she's a fiery character to add into the mix as well. I feel like the other Caroline was kind of like MIA during this.
I think she's toned it down a little bit.
Sarah's got a new German African muscle man Adonis boyfriend.
And she's taken the stick out of her ass.
I love that.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. I think they watched themselves back and they went, oops. Like, Stanbury's like, I need to be a little bit nicer because I'm really coming off like a colonizer. No, facts. Chanel Ayan was like, I was one of the breakout stars. How do I maintain this momentum? And I'm sorry, but Ayan's TikTok I'm loving so much at the moment. She's in Africa at the moment and it's brilliant. And I think Sarah as well is the same thing. I think she was like, okay, Nina's not here. I don't have to do the like, super conservative stick up the butt thing. Obviously my family was fine with me being on the show. Let me just have fun this season.
Yeah, it looks like a good time, but it's just like, it's crazy to continue to remember.
Oh my God. Nobody's thinking about the face but you.
No, it's been like 2 years since like the first season aired. Like, it's just wild. And they wrapped filming like halfway through last year as well.
Yeah. Well, sometimes it be's like that.
Salt Lake City, Monica was seen like chasing Tanisha like in her car and stalking her, and then 2 days later came out as pregnant on a podcast. Tanisha. Isn't that her name?
Who's Tanisha? Is that the salon lady that was doing whatever it was, Dita Von Teese with her?
Yes.
Oh, is that her name? I don't remember Tanisha. Okay.
And then she comes out as pregnant, and it's like that, like, to this boyfriend who's like 10 years younger than her. They've been dating for not that long, but I think he was in, apparently he did like appear in the last season of Salt Lake City.
She said they've been dating for a year.
Yeah. And she,
I hate to break it to you, but in grown-up relationships, a year is like a decent amount of time.
I didn't suggest otherwise.
You said they hadn't been dating for a long time.
Well, not that we were aware of.
Okay.
And I think that they were like using some form of contraception, but apparently it didn't work.
I mean, look, these things do happen. Happy for them. We love it. We love a new baby, you know, happy for them. I, one of the things that I was just thinking about is the timing of announcing. Like, I got it. Like, she was going on this really popular podcast, which is like this ex Bachelor villain, Nick Bai. I'm not into Bachelor Nation, so I only know him from TikTok. And I guess like when you are going on that sort of podcast, or you're going on like a Call Her Daddy or something, you have to bring something fresh, something a bit different, something unusual. Also, Patrizio, I really can't take you seriously right now.
Sorry.
Listeners, Patrizio is currently adjusting his fur. It is freezing in the lower level, and Jon Snow herself over here is adjusting her fur. doing a shimmy, thank you. Yeah, the timing, it's just like, what's the angle? But oh well. Do you think she's really pregnant?
I mean, she is a pathological liar.
And, you know, that runs in the family.
I think she is. I think that, like, she is truly sticking it to Bravo over the fact that she wasn't asked to return. I almost feel like she's dropping all this stuff as well because she is just trying to, like, either secure the bag and come back like halfway through, because the reports are Salt Lake City is no good this season. There's not been anything of note.
It's always going to be hard for them to come off the back of that season, right?
Well, like, I think Salt Lake City has never been consistent, right? Like, I feel like a lot of the housewives generally have good runs and then they kind of like have like a really bad couple of seasons and then they kind of get good again, right? Salt Lake City, like, season one was kind of like up and down the entire time. Season two, amazing. Season three, shit. Season four, amazing again. It's just sort of like there's just no consistency when it comes to Salt Lake City.
I think the one thing that we were always guaranteed on was the insanity of Jen Shah. But I think it's really starting to hit me that we're not going to get an opportunity for Monica to attempt to redeem herself. Even if she hasn't done anything redeemable, I think we all deserve to watch that awkwardness. Like, let's see if she can dig herself out of this hole. I would like to see that, you know, and it is a shame that we're never going to get that, or we're not getting it now.
I know. I want to see Heather's face when, like, Monica walks back in, you know.
Yeah, maybe we will get the surprise. Well, congrats. Somebody
compared it to, remember when, like, Kenya came back to Atlanta pregnant as well? And Nene was, like, not having it. Like, that is, like, that level of, like, engagement that we could have had. Perhaps we still will. Monica might come onto the finale episode 4 months pregnant, invited by Mary to, you know, the final Greek event. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I will say I am obsessed with Angie K and Mary being BFFs and, like, hanging out all the time and doing reels together and TikToks together.
You mean Patrizio and Moshi?
Yeah, that's why I love it, because it's us. Yes, I'm married to my step-grand. No, I'm joking.
And yes, I am a column of the Greek community.
Oh, I love that. Is there anything else that we can celebrate?
No, there's just truly nothing to celebrate this week. But Miami, today we woke up to the news, Moshi, that Todd on the 11th of April had filed for divorce against Alexia. Alexia clapped back on her Instagram story saying that, like, she was truly, like, shocked by Todd's filing. She prays for, like, a brighter future. I mean, look, Adriana told us first.
Have you seen the TikTok? I should have sent this to you. Ugh, a shame. There's a reel or a TikTok where there's a lady who's saying that the signs were there when he refused to buy a property. And, like, yes, he justified why he was, like, when it comes to domestic properties and not commercial, he rents, but he didn't want to co-own a property with Alexia. And that's because he knew the divorce was coming. And that's why he also did not want to, like, they could have purchased or stayed in that same apartment, but he was, like, planning his escape, so to speak.
I mean, that checks out. Like, he was already, like, refusing to attend, like, group events at the start of the season. Then obviously, like, this whole, like, apartment thing happened. I mean, they haven't been, like, in a photo on, like, Instagram for, like, weeks now.
Yeah. But I also think there's something to him filing for divorce. I think he, in order for him to not give her alimony or something, he has to file. I don't know. But it's a bit sad because, like, I really do believe, like, she really loves Todd.
I mean, it's crazy to think. They've only been married for 2 years. But this is Alexia, right? She's the telenovela housewife. Like, you know, her return season on Miami was like, you know, everything happened, right? And so, like, this is just another sort of tale in her life, unfortunately.
Yeah. I have suspicions as to, you know, some of the things that could have been at play. I think one of the things that we saw towards the end of last season is obviously helping Frankie become more independent. But I do think, especially in a relationship where it's not your biological child and you're coming in, I do think there is kind of this thing about him wanting probably more attention and more time from Alexia, and it's just not something she's able to do. And I do think that, like, that's something you should just know. I think she's pretty honest about how she is going to be with Frankie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a shame.
Well, nobody tell Luby Ruelas that Alexia's back on the market, because
you know what? I could see it. Meanwhile, Teresa at freaking Coachella with Louis hanging out with Taylor Swift. Iconic.
But you know that that Teresa had no idea who Taylor was.
No. Louis told her. Louis knows who Taylor Swift is. Because they know Kelsey. They know Travis Kelsey. They know the footballer. They're like, Taylor.
All right. Actually, I did. Look, I lied, Moshi. There is something that we can celebrate.
Okay.
Crystal's not returning for season 14 on Beverly Hills.
I refuse to celebrate that.
I think it was time.
No, I think she needed one more season.
We can't just keep giving these people seasons, Moshi.
We've literally been doing that with Kyle.
Since season, like, I think it's season 10 now, every newbie that has appeared is now no longer on the show.
Yep. Except for Garcelle and Sutton. They've lasted.
Yeah, but they came before Crystal. So, they, like, Crystal was, like, the last standing, like, of the newbies.
No, that's a fair call. I don't know. I just think that, like, I don't know what it was. I was really hoping that Crystal was going to watch herself back this season and realize that she needed to bring it a little bit more, and so she was going to come good next season. But at the same time, I think there is something to production not showing her live, but perhaps also when they were interviewing her on what she was going to bring, she didn't have anything to bring.
Look, I think Crystal has had 3 seasons of opportunities to learn, to grow, to understand what she can bring, to watch herself back. I think 3 seasons was probably pretty generous. And it's a lot more than most other housewives get, which, like, we'll talk about later on as well. But, like, there's been so many one season wonders, like, of late, especially Beverly Hills. I mean, like, the Diana Jenkins of it all, like, so yeah. Crystal, I think, has had a fair, as we would say in the lower level, a fair shake of the sauce bottle. I think that, you know, it was her time. I think she herself probably was done as well, which is sort of like, I think, the implication on the video that she posted today as well.
It was quite lovely.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, she was right for the time that she was brought on, but, yeah, it's just time to move on. And I think,
do you think we will hear of more people not returning? And if so, who do you think it'll be? For Beverly Hills specifically.
You know, Ira Madison posted on Twitter today saying, this is good, but there's still more dead weight to go on Beverly Hills.
The whole cast, aside from Sutton. I would like to see them build a new show. Because, you know, Bette Midler is determined to be on Beverly Hills. Like, I need them to go back to the drawing board and fully rethink what the POV is on Beverly Hills. Because it has come a long way since the early days of Housewives. And I say that in, like, when Beverly Hills started, we were still at that place where we didn't know these women. They were kind of more unknown. We didn't have a lot of these types of shows. So we still didn't know what access we were going to get to things and all that sort of jazz. And I'll be honest, I feel like the show hasn't been the same, even though I didn't really love her at the time, since LVP and like Brandy left. Like we had the stuff with Camille, like, you know, it was so fascinating to see this thing with her and Kelsey, but we're beyond that now because influencers exist, all that stuff exists. We need like them, like kind of what they did in New York. We need them to have a completely different viewpoint on who the modern Beverly Hills housewife is.
I will say though, I feel like there's been a bit of nostalgia like floating around the internet recently of Beverly Hills. Like there is something to be said about the period of time when like LVP and Adrian Maloof like lived opposite each other in the
100%. But my thing is that I think that still exists. The only difference now is so of the time we have these women who were like, there were women of industry still. So that's the thing about Adrian specifically and Lisa. They brought these really interesting backgrounds. So with, you know, Adrian Maloof, her family, they were like a different kind of dynasty or dynasty, whatever you pronounce it, in the US, in the business world. You had LVP, who was this hotshot restaurateur and had lived everywhere, and then they lived across from each other. So these were people of that world. There was no other way for us to get access. But now I feel like the equivalent of that is like a DJ who lives opposite like a different type of entrepreneur. Do you know what I mean? Like, I hate to say it, but it's like a Kylie Jenner, you know, and a Paris Hilton or something. That's what the equivalent is now.
We need like an OnlyFans star that lives opposite a person that is building their dog food empire.
100%. To me, like it literally could be a sex worker, like who is at the top of her craft, who lives opposite like a mum influencer, who lives, and a wag definitely has to be in there. Like, I think it's a different mix of women. I had somebody before in mind who I was thinking, but you're definitely right. Like it's somebody who's not, I don't want to say dog food because that always reminds me of Cameron Westcott, but I think the lay of the land has changed in Beverly Hills and we need to know who are the new girlies, because the thing is we're not getting access to those parties and to those things. And I think that's potentially what we really wanted from Crystal, was this Hollywood access, right? And we're not getting it. Who are those people now that we can have on the show? And I think Beverly Hills, I think we're almost at a point where we can have like a legacy and a new version of Beverly Hills. Like I think that would work more than it did in New York.
Well, first we need to cut the dead Dorito weight.
I know what I was going to say. It would be a real estate agent is who we would get out of Beverly
Hills. I was just thinking about that as well.
Yeah, because I mean, those are the girlies. Like it has to be like a Chrishell. You know, like she needs to move from selling Sunset and moving into like a housewives structure would be amazing. Her and G, bloody G Flip, bit of lower level representation, you know, more lesbians. Like we're ready for their baby journey. Like get her. That's exactly what we need. We need Chrishell on there.
Moshi, why are you not producing the new season of Beverly Hills?
I think I would go crazy, but it's, I think that would be kind of fascinating because within the Bravo sphere, obviously Vanderpump and those other shows, The Valley has come off, which is a spin-off of Vanderpump Rules. And it has, you know, Jax Taylor and Kristen Doty, who were originally on VPR. And one of the most consistent bits of feedback that has come about that show is everybody expected it to be shit. And it is so good. Mm. And it's because they've expanded that universe and they've gone, okay, these people aren't servers at this restaurant anymore. Like I was going to say they've evolved, but they haven't as humans, but their worlds have. And they've introduced us to their expanded network of crazy people. And that's kind of what we don't see with other reality shows. Like they haven't quite figured out how to expand the universe because we can't stay insular for so long. Things need to spin off a bit better.
But we're going to get more of the same, I'm sure.
100%. But I think that's where Housewives is failing. It doesn't quite understand how to spin off itself.
Mm. Anyway. Well, the actual good news this week was, the OC, Jennifer, season 17, Jennifer freshman, she got engaged on the beach in the Bahamas.
His name Ryan as well.
Yes.
Happy for them. We thought it was never going to happen.
The Rock is huge.
Is it real? Because that was the thing with her. You know, his clothes were questionable. Her clothes were fake.
And you know what? Maybe it's not real, but, like, it was huge.
It was huge. No, I'm happy for them.
Look, the casting news continues, though. Atlanta. Twell is coming back. She's twirling on back. Kenya announced her return.
Happy for the Twell. I think her and Portia, I'm ready to see them unite, finally.
And then rumored Drew Sidora is coming back.
That is wrong.
And that Sheree, there's still ongoing negotiations.
If they get rid of Sheree, they are dumb.
Could you have Sheree as a friend of rather than a full-time peach holder?
No, you can't. With somebody like Sheree, it's like Sheree kind of got the Luann treatment. She went away. She was put on pause. She came back. She delivered. There's no going back to being a friend of unless it's on her own terms.
So we have a core four potentially now. And there's the suggestion, I think, of like four new women joining the group as well.
We've seen, I think it works really well. I think we're seeing something kind of similar on Married to Medicine. Like there's this core group, but then building another group, because I think when there's not enough balance between the old and the new in this instance, if they're not going to do a fresh recast, then I don't think it'll work. But I just don't like the idea that Drew Sidora is part of the core four. That feels wrong.
But who else?
Cynthia Bailey. I know she's booked and busy. But do you know what I mean? It would have been Candy, but Candy's off making millions on Broadway. I just think there could have, there's enough women in the archives. Enough women in the archives. Not Marlo. I think it's unfortunate for Marlo. She didn't do what she just tried a bit too hard.
I think, unfortunately, Drew Sidora makes sense because they're not doing the full reboot, right? They're doing like the Miami, half legacy, half newbies, right?
Yeah, I guess it did work well in Miami.
I guess if there's only three returning, then I think it does need to be Sheree. But I think Drew and Portia are probably of the same generation, right? And I think that's where the show is probably needing to go. I think with Housewives, you know what it is? It's either you need a group of like boomers or you need a group of millennials.
Whereas I'm saying maybe what we need are the Gen Z tween mums.
I think that's possible as well.
The trad wives.
In certain markets, yes.
Mara Smiths of the world, if you will.
But I don't know if the crossing of generations has been successful anywhere.
Yeah, definitely not on Cheshire.
No, and I think it just causes more issues than it does solve for like a good season.
And that's because I think there isn't a real clear point of view when you've got people at stages of their lives that are just so different.
And it's that whole thing as well, I think, of like, you know, you can get along with someone who's your mum's age, let's say, if you're the younger end of the housewife scale, but like, are you going to be friends on that kind of level with someone who's your mum's age? Probably not.
I think originally where this was coming from is that it was more about social standing and class rather than, because initially, you know, a lot of the women that were on this show, it was very rare that they worked, for instance, right? Or they had traditional jobs. I need to rephrase that. They did work. A lot of them, their mothers, they were homemakers. So they had, it was more about having like a common ground. So I think if there isn't, because I think it can work, but there needs to be a common thread. Like I liked how on the latest season of New York, I would say on the latest season of New York, they're all roughly the same age, but they had that through line, which was like fashion. They were all in that sort of world, right? Yeah, I just think there needs to be something that connects all the women. I think the age and generation thing can work. Like maybe like they all need to be horse girls, you know what I mean, on Beverly Hills. And that way, because I think Sutton can get along with anyone.
The country
club. The younger, the better. Huh?
The country club girls.
Not necessarily the country club girls, but she needs horse girls. You don't have to be a country club girl to be a horse girl. That's a very specific type of girl.
Well, breaking news, Moshi has invited Teddy Mellencamp to come back to join her horse girl Sutton on Beverly Hills.
Nobody believes that.
You want the horse girlies back together. LVP, get her back in as well.
I mean, why not?
Her time has come and gone, I think.
One of the things that a lot of people have said is when we think about, so just going back to that Valley example, when we think about expanding the franchise within the Bravo cinematic universe, there is these opportunities to have people cross over from one show to the other. So for instance, there's a specific person who's on Summer House, Lindsay Hubbard, who would be a great fit for the current New York season. So I'm thinking then like when we're looking at, because I was just thinking about like VPR, I mean, these women, some of them aren't in that upper echelon, but someone like Ariana, who has now become, you know, this commodity, so to speak, this brand, this person, like she's doing Roxy Hart on Chicago, just like Erica Jane. She's, you know, having this rebirth. She did Dancing with the Stars. She's doing all of these things. And she's going to be like, she's super famous, but she's also going to be super rich now. If that does put her into a new tax bracket, does that then make her worthy of being on Beverly Hills? Because that's the trajectory that she's going in.
Mm.
Maybe it's not her, but that's kind of how I'm thinking about it.
I think we're going to continue this this conversation through the podcast. I think that's the word on the street for this week. Let's get into The Real Housewives of Potomac season 8, because really the tea continues, Moshi.
Mate, out of this world.
Robin announces on her podcast, Reasonably Shady Today, that she has been fired from Potomac. She's not sugarcoating it. She was straight up asked not to return for the new season. And on the back of that news, Candy Girl announces her pregnancy.
Two things. One, I was able to articulate today what it is that I don't like about Robin.
What is it?
She's annoying.
Yeah, she is.
She's just so annoying. And it's the way that she's like trying to, like, it's great that you were fired. It's great that you're not sugarcoating it. But like just this need to kind of have to consistently prove that you're like realer than everybody else. Like it's the whole stuff with like, you know, the one of it all, which is like she's just so cool. She's just above it all. It's so annoying. It's giving pick me.
Yeah, I see that. I think I would say the same thing. I think her thing is, I think she's also one of those people that like she knows the truth in her heart, but it's a thing of like she's lied to herself so many times she's now believing.
like it's like that's great, but we like you're fired. It amazing. That's the best news I've heard all day. Like it's kind of like Teddy. It's that same energy.
it's almost like she's proud to have been fired. Like, it's like a badge of honor for her, and that she's being like open about the truth.
No, but it's almost like, I'm not going to show them that they're going to make me cry. That's how it comes across. But that's why I say it's a bit like Teddy Mellencamp. Like, Teddy's like, you know, wears hers with a, but it's just, it's so annoying.
Well, because, and I think like the context here is obviously that Candace came out first saying that she's leaving the show, right? And it was this thing of like, it's been a blessing. Like, I'm leaving on my terms. Like, I've done what I needed to do and I'm out. I'm excited for the future, thankful for the past. And so it's this thing like where Robin, it's like a clap back as well, right? Where it's like, you know, I'm not going to come out here and pretend that, you know, I have made an active decision in this. Like, I was fired, as were other people like on the show, you know.
Yes, but then, but Candace got the people edit, and you only get that if Bravo likes you. And then to top it all off, she then announces on the same day that Robin announces she got fired in what she thinks is a clapback, Candace then announces that she's 13 weeks pregnant. Like, for us, we're just all I can think of is, well, now we know why she didn't want to return back to the show. She doesn't need to be on a show where she's potentially going to get bashed if she's pregnant. Even if she does put herself somewhat in those situations, which is, you know, a conversation piece. But I think she's realized for her own, like, if she's pregnant, she does not want to be on a show where the narrative is, we're determined to make, to prove that your husband is cheating on you. We're determined to put you in situations where there could be violence, because we know that you antagonize people to that level. Like, she does not want to be put in harm's way.
Well, and I think obviously, you know, she was going through the IVF journey, so we can, you know, it's likely that this pregnancy was through IVF. So she 13 weeks ago they filmed the reunion, so at that time she would have been like, had just done her transfer, she's probably like a week pregnant at that point. Like, and I think that gives such a different context now watching the reunion, where she's sitting there literally like 1 week, she's got like 4 cells that have split, yeah, like inside of her.
Are you doctor of what is it, in vitro fertilization? You're an OBGYN right now.
I've watched a few episodes of Married to Medicine recently, okay?
Okay, Dr. Jackie.
Paging Dr. Patty.
Dr. Simone.
Dr. Heavenly.
Voice of the call. Don't bring the dentist into this. You're an OBGYN, okay? Good lips. No, but yeah, when they ask her, is the baby on hold, and she did not know what to say.
Right. I think at that point, and you can tell from some of her responses as well, where she's like you want me to be friends with this? Like, I'm done. I'm out. Like, I got things cooking in the oven, you know?
Yeah, literally. And I think the other thing about it though, is that I hate to say it, I think for a lot of us, it felt very much like Candace wasn't ever really serious about wanting to have a baby. It was a side. What I've realized though, it's that it was very much a side of herself that she didn't want to put out on television too much, because I guess it's quite painful to have to, especially when you can't conceive, when you need to be able to conceive with the help, with a bit more extra help. It just is too challenging to, you know, document all of that on television. So not that we needed it to feel validated, but I just think, as somebody who has come from being an I hate Candace to a kind of like Candace person, this is a perfect way for her to go out in Housewives history. You know what I mean?
Totally. Now, the other word on the street at the moment is that NECA.
The word on the Chesapeake, these ones are called, by the way.
The word on the Chesapeake. That NECA has been fired after 1 season. What are your thoughts? Are
about you, NECA, or about NECA?
Are you a NECA fan?
Am I a neck of fat? No.
Pull up in the Sri Lanka. What?
Pull up in the Osu. What?
Osu?
You know what Osu is. Did you not watch this?
I know, but like, that's why I'm like, Moshi, you can't bring up the Osu.
Sorry. Am I a NECA fan? What I will say is that NECA was unnecessary for the season. And I guess we're going to talk a bit about the reunion, so I can maybe go into it a little bit then. But there are some really good things about NECA, but there are also just the whole, I'll be honest, the whole season. Should we just get into it?
Yeah. Look, I think my thing with NECA is I am willing to give her another season. I think if she is a one and done, I think that's kind of sad, especially when you do have like already like Candace is gone, like now Robin's gone. I mean, there's still a question mark, I feel, around Ashley. And I think she does need to be punished, to be quite honest, for the Deborah of it all. So I'm like kind of like, I don't know if NECA needs to go.
I have opinions and I'll talk about them in full, but one thing that has been, you exist on Twitter, I don't. But I was just curious if you saw that a certain hashtag was trending, and I really want to, you know, shout out to my boy Alex, who called this out to me. It is a trend that I like to think I had a hand in starting, but off the back of this season, boycott RHOP is trending. The people are looking to boycott the next season. I just want to say, technically, in my opinion, I already boycotted the Potomac.
Hey.
What are you thinking? Are you still invested in this franchise, Patrizio?
I think that I am re-energized by the fact that there is some cast shakeup. I think that's just interesting to see. I don't think I would stop watching Potomac. I don't think there's been anything that has been that untoward, in my opinion, that like it warrants a full blown boycott. I'll watch the trash.
Watch the trash. As long
as it continues to air.
I will say that I have no regrets about choosing to not watch the season episodically on a weekly basis as it came out. I found, I don't know if this is the same for every franchise. Like some of the franchises, I'm just like so excited to see what's happening every week. But I will say that I enjoyed binging the season. I pretty much watched the whole 18 episodes plus the 18 episodes. I pretty much watched them over the span of like a week and a half. And we were so lucky to have that Easter break because that's really when a lot of it went down. And then I sort of was, because we have the drought on at the moment, I was able to kind of watch extra bits where I would have been watching a Beverly Hills or watching, something else. And so binge watching it made it really enjoyable, it also made the feuds, I feel like, easier to follow. And it got me thinking particularly about NECA and Wendy. And just, I want to just say this as well, my own experience with being like an outsider. So like one of the things that's really interesting about for me about Potomac is it's a show about Black women in America, but Wendy, who like a lot of Africans, I will say, this is a very African thing, but Wendy is like African first before she's American, even though like I don't think she was ever born in Nigeria. You know, her mother immigrated years ago. She's, you know, done all her schooling. For all intensive purposes, she is an American woman. But, you know, she did come on this show very much like, I'm a Nigerian woman. I'm this. I'm, and you know what? I actually love the Niger pride. Like, I love that she's so proud of who she is. But what it's done is, and what Wendy has been trying to do since that first season is break out of that mold. And that's why she's a multi-hyphenate, right? Wendy's identity is something that she likes to have control over, and she will tell you what she is. But what happened this season is, I think for Wendy, I'm sort of trying to see things from Wendy's perspective, which is that it feels very much to me like the to want to bring Necker on initially through Wendy, and I really didn't like the way Andy articulated this on the show, which is like this assumption that, well, you know, you both come from this same community, so surely it, you know, that should be an easy transition to have you on the show. It's like, that's not how it works. It's like when, you know, you have like an older relative, like a grandma or a great aunt, and they find out that like maybe you're gay or something, and they'll be like, oh, my hairdresser's gay. Do you know him? Do you know like those sorts of things where they're like, yes, the village is small, but the village is also really, really big. And of course, I'm sure that almost every Nigerian person who lives within Baltimore has been at the same party at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like the friendships, the connections are really tenuous. They're not built on anything strong. And I think what was happening is Wendy found them trying to push her back into this box, which is your role is to be the Nigerian woman on the show. And if you're not going to be the Nigerian woman on the show, we can bring another one in. And I don't know if people understand that, but I be really honest, I didn't like Wendy's behavior. I didn't like it in the reunion particularly, but I was able kind of to put that perspective on it because I've experienced similar things as well and how I reacted to them. And I hate to say it, I probably would have reacted in that same way. So that's just something, and that speaks to why I feel like we didn't need Necker.
So I feel like I want to take what you've just said, which is not something I had considered, but as you were speaking it, I was thinking about it.
Well, thank you.
I was listening.
Thank you.
And like, I'm going to take what you said. I'm going to raise you one. And please. I think the failure here goes back to production, because what I'm hearing in what you're saying, Washi, is that production didn't know how to introduce Necker into this group, right? And so for them, it was, well, Wendy's Nigerian, Necker's Nigerian, like that's an easy, like you just introduce her as your Nigerian, like cousin, sister, friend, whatever, and that's how she comes into the group. And instead they had to do this like weird pivot when Wendy was like, I don't know her. I'm not bringing this in, like bringing this relationship in that doesn't exist, right? And they had to then pivot to Ashley, right? Which again, I don't think made like any sense at all, thinking back on it. But it speaks to that whole thing around like, you know, these ensemble casts only work when they actually know each other or have some sort of history, right? And that when it's staged, you can tell and you know it. And it's just like, it's no different to, I feel like this happened in so many other franchises, right? That they bring someone in that the connection between the two women is like so, so, so loose. Whereas like,
hey.
Yes. Whereas like Kayana is like a more like logical like connection to the group. She knows Giselle's hairdresser. She knows like Wendy, like she's in the group already to some degree. And then the little tidbit, I guess, on top of all of that is that Neckar, like, reveals, first of all, that, like, you know, her tagline's like, I was born in Nigeria, I grew up in LA, and now I'm in Potomac. Like, she's actually, like, born and raised in, like, Wisconsin or whatever it was. And then she was actually being considered for Married for Medicine. So, yeah. Like, so there was a point where she's living in LA and they were basically like, will you join, like, Married to Med? Which would have meant she would have moved to Atlanta, but instead she moved to, like, the DMV area, and has ended up in Potomac. And I almost want to say, like, I feel like Neckar may have been a better fit on Married to Med because of the fact that, like, that medicine connection would have been a bit more of a natural fit rather than this, like, weird Nigerian connection, which then turned into this whole, like, taboo, like, you know, topic that was uncomfortable, I think, for the women. It was uncomfortable for the viewer. Like, it was just all around bad. So, yeah, like, not great.
I think you raised it and, you know, you just won the round. I think you're absolutely right. And I was going to say, Kiana, the other side of this is, and I'm just going to talk about Wendy again, because Wendy is hard to love. She is a character that is, or a person on this show that is very hard to love. But look at how she brought Kiana on the show. And one of the things that we can say about Wendy is that when she brings someone on the show, she doesn't bring somebody on the show to be an ally. Like, in the sense of, she let Kay go off. Kay got to know everyone on her own terms. And that's the difference. And that is the part of Wendy where I'm like, when she doesn't feel like she is backed into a corner, like she has to defend herself, like she has to constantly prove who she is, like when people just let her live, it's great that she was able to bring that person on the show, because nobody else on this franchise or in this franchise has been able to bring another friend on the show in as natural a way, right?
Or that I feel like will last longer than a season.
Yeah, because look at what Ashley has brought on the show.
Now, can I get into the H&On?
Please. You can get into H&On at any time. Sorry if I've been stopping you from getting there.
So the network had a choice, right? They had two women, Neckar and Wendy, and they could only fire one, right? The decision is made to fire Neckar because there's been much of a less investment into Neckar as a housewife than there has been in Wendy. So Wendy's been on the show for 3 seasons, and I would assume, given the Bethany clause, that there is some sort of, like, financial kickback from the businesses that have been created off the back of the show.
Interesting.
Neckar hasn't done anything with the show, so she is an easy, like, cut your losses and get rid of her after a season. Truly, she lucks out completely, because if she bought a house in Potomac just to get on the show, like, didn't really work out for her, did it?
I like that theory. I think it makes sense. But I think Wendy's role on the show is still really contentious. And I also am with you that I think that Ashley will be demoted. I don't think she'll be fired, but I do think she'll be demoted. And I think it's going to be really interesting now to see what Giselle is going to be like without Robin. So to that, just, you know, some observations.
Can I just say, just before, the only reason why I can see Ashley not being demoted and maintaining her flute holding status is the fact that her and Kay had a bit of a beef at the reunion.
Okay, so to that point, we see Kay returning, right? So Kay is part of this new...
She's returning either as a friend of, or give her a Chesapeake River.
Okay, so if she's getting a Chesapeake, then she'll stay because she's a friend of Wendy's, and that could be interesting.
Yes.
All right.
Sorry, I interrupted what you were
about. No, you didn't. So I just want to tell you some things. It's not all hate with Potomac. There are some things that I observed. One is that Giselle is no longer the worst dressed. That title is maybe co-owned by Robin and Ashley. Ashley is probably like truly the worst dressed, which makes GNA a whole other situation.
But that's been the gag. The whole thing with GNA has been they truly chose the two like worst dressed in the group. And they were like, you know what we can do? An athleisure brand.
I just think I never noticed how badly Ashley dressed. And I feel like since now she's in her new house, she's got her new boobs, she's dressing worse than normal. Yeah, it's very
horror confession.
Can I say something? It's really weird to me when women who have money dress so poorly. Like, I'll just never understand it. No, like at the level that they're dressing, like one thing that I can say is that they have their own personal style, and that's great. But it's just weird. Like, even in her down-to-earth, non-logo mania days, even Dorit just keeps it simple and looks good with her cigarette and her jeans and her jumper. You know what I mean?
Moshi, money can't buy you class and it can't buy you style.
They have personal style. It's just, it's interesting. I really love that Karen is just leaning into being unhinged, like from, like just leaning into just like saying things so out of pocket. Like, we've come a long, long way. Like, from when she used to say like hot box and sing sing, and we were like, oh, and it was like defensive and it was a bit funny. But now, like, the whole fence thing, like talking about having wet dreams, like all of that stuff and just owning it. And then also somebody pointed out as well, like when, but then still being able to read a bitch and like looking directly in Robin's eye when she gives her shade. I also just love the fact that she was like the whole thing with Mia and the evolution of their hugs. I really loved the frozen pie analogy, like all these things that were just so wild. Like, I love that Karen is just, I'm in my lane and this is what I'm doing. And one of the things that made that so good is that her and Giselle, that feud, they figured it out.
Yeah.
You know, and so that made it amazing. Now, while the producers fucked up a lot with like whatever they were trying to produce, the editors were phenomenal. The amount of receipts, because one thing about the through line with Potomac is that nobody takes accountability.
Yes.
Nobody ever says sorry. Instead, they say, I apologize. They're not the same thing. And some people think they are. Do not let the housewives gaslight you into thinking somebody saying, I apologize, is somebody saying they're sorry for something. It's not. I hate it. And because they don't take any accountability, it's amazing that the editors are able to bring the receipts throughout the season. It's phenomenal. I just think they had their work really cut out for them and they never let me down. Now, while the clothes may have been lacking, the wigs were on point. And no more were the wigs on point than at the reunion. Like, every single one of those ladies either had a full lace front or had some additions. I mean, Karen gave us a whole new look. She gave us silver pixie. Are you kidding me? Who else can do that? Just no one.
The grand dame.
The grand dame. But the hairs were laid like, there's a lot of people have been nostalgic about Potomac and posting a lot of befores and afters, and like Karen's whole face hair evolution is phenomenal. Candace's hair evolution was really great. I like that Wendy really mixed it up with this like slicked back hair. Necker's hair was all on point. Like, Ashley wore a full wig on top of like her mass of hair that she already has. Like, amazing. So I just want to call out the hair was given what it needs to give. One thing that they're all lying about is that they all swallow. I know they say they don't, but they all swallow. Trust me.
And can I just say that whole shtick about like swallowing and then spitting it back into your hand and waiting for your man to fall asleep?
Nobody said they spit into their hand. Giselle at the reunion said she would spit into her hand and then proceeded to show us what that would look like. And at that moment, I was like, Jizzy, come on.
Not Jizzy.
Yeah, I had to call her Jizzy in that moment. Gizzy with the Jizzy. A lot of these thoughts are just out of whack because I sort of just write them as they happen to me. Wendy's mom, what an icon. Like, she is so amazing. I just love the fact that she's like, I never fucking said that. Like, you know, her stance is like, she's gangster. And did we know that Wendy had a younger brother, like a kid brother? That was kind of wild to me. So I love that her mom, yeah, I don't know if you remember the bit, her brother was in that scene where her mom comes over and he's like 18 or something. He's still quite young. But yeah, Wendy's mom is somebody like, I don't think she's out there doing, I don't think that she's out there needing to do like witchcraft on people. And the reason why I don't think she needs to resort to that sort of stuff is because you can't fucking intimidate her. There's nothing you can do to this woman. She is so above everyone and she deserves to be.
I feel like you can be a witch without being a witch though. You know what I mean?
As a witch, I feel like I think I know what you mean, but it's not true. Like you're either a witch or you're like somebody who is just, okay, maybe I do get what you mean, but I just think that like people don't understand that energy. And so they automatically call her witch. And it's like, that's not what that energy is. That energy is just confidence. It's just knowing who she is. It's just being a boss bitch. And that's who she is. She doesn't need to hide behind shrines. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think she had a shrine?
No. I don't think she needs it. That's what I'm saying. She's sitting on the couch with her Coke bottle or whatever. You know what I mean? Like she is taking over at the daughter's the communion, talking about how they're her children. She doesn't need a shrine. The way logic works in her mind, she doesn't need a shrine. And she wasn't wrong. Those children are her children. What else do I have on here? This is all leading to something. The PAVE event.
Beautiful, touching,
emotional. All of those things, but I think what one of the things was that every single woman has a story.
Mm.
You know, and not just women, non-binary people. I know there's men that have stories, but we need to really erase the stigma associated with sexual assault and sexual violence. And, you know, any sort of gendered or domestic-based violence. You know, we've seen some terrible things happen, particularly in the lower level. We're seeing tremendously horrible things happening all around the world at the moment. And the people who are suffering the most consistently, whether it is a genocide, whether it is a war, whether it is like any sort of famine, is, you know, women and children predominantly, albeit at the hands of men in power, right? And you know, we see an event like PAVE, but it is part of this larger story and part of this whole self-reflection that we need to do to do with ourselves as a world, as a humanity. So, and that those are the moments where it's like reality shows are meant to inform the way the world works.
I think the PAVE event as well is just one of those really good examples of like when Housewives does it right, it does it so, so well. And like who else to host this event but the Grand Dame? Like, you know, this is the level where it should be at, right? And I expect nothing less.
Speak on it. And all of that is to say, Mia, wow. Wow, Mia. Like,
the seat next to Andy.
I mean, give her both couches, you know?
I mean, like, us probably could use both couches.
Well, okay, we didn't have to go to that. Patricia, we didn't have to bring her to the gutter. But, and actually, it's a two-parter. Mia and Gordon, wow. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is the different levels of their of people's personal lives that they're willing to show and how they show it. Like, I guess Mia has been warts and all from the beginning because she's messy Mia. She's Mia be lying while Candace be crying. Like, she's all of these sorts of things. And when we look at all the housewives across all of the franchises, I don't know if we have ever, maybe Brandy Glanville is kind of as close as I can think of, but have we ever had a housewife really show us the extent of her, every aspect of her life, like particularly the warts and all side of it, and then also have a partner who is also willing to be vulnerable. Maybe he wasn't vulnerable throughout the season, but by the reunion, you know, Gordon gets us all back, right? Things, other things start to make sense.
I think, though, that, like, the difference with Mia, though, is I think it does come off more, like, I don't know, like, relatable or sincere than, like, a Brandy Glanville. I don't know, Brandy, it's too chaotic.
Too chaotic. I agree with you. That's why I'm like, I'm really struggling to find another housewife. I feel on some level, Nene was a little bit like this, particularly when she first started. And it's one of the things that endeared us to her. I also don't think that you have to share all of your trauma for people to find you relatable.
Well, Carlos King said that Mia is the Porsche of Potomac.
That is a really interesting way to put it. Because, yeah, it's definitely like early days Porsche.
Mm.
That is, you see, that's it. I mean, I've deliberately not been listening to Carlos because I've been trying to form my own opinions, but I'm glad you finally listened.
I see the headlines. I read the headlines.
Oh, I've been avoiding everything. I really wanted to come to this conversation with my own opinions as much as possible. So Gordon telling us about his bipolar disorder at the reunion and it just clicking so many things into place. Like, even without him telling us that, I still really respect the relationship that him and Mia have, even though they're not a couple.
Mm. They're, I think it's a little weird, but, like, yes, I like it.
I'll tell you why I don't think it's weird. I think they are pragmatic about their age gap.
Yes.
And the fact that they're at different stages of their lives. And I think one of the things is something I actually think you probably don't really find it that weird. It's just that we never have had a housewife just say it out loud. But like Gordon, you know, like he's not actively being cuckolded, but like he can't, I mean, he is, but he can't give Mia those things. And he's really about it. And so they had an arrangement, right? And it was just like, this is what you're not going to do. But here's the thing. Girlfriend has fallen in love. Like, when you're in love, you can't not break those things. And his whole thing is like, that's fine. But there is still, within our relationship, there is still an itch that you scratch for me. We're not having sex. We're not doing those things. But you're scratching this, like maybe it's a companionship, maybe it's a friendship, maybe it is, it's a different sort of relationship for me, and I'm not ready to let that go. And I think that that's like something that we see in people who are essentially ethically non-monogamous or poly. So I don't think it is that weird. I just think we're not used to seeing it in a way that is so loving, because at the end of the day, they have children together. This man is Mia's family forever.
Yes. It's the cuckolding for me that is weird.
Yeah, but I think
the way that, like, she was like, say hi to him, he's on the FaceTime, and he's like, hi.
No, but I think the cuckolding side of it is that, like, G can't do those things anymore. I mean, I'm sure his mouth still works, but, you know.
I mean, look, like, but it's just that, I think it's just that thing of, like, at this point, Mia can have her new boy. She's got her divorced husband now. Like, but she doesn't have to, like, force them to interact with each other. I think that's the cuckolding for me. It was like the, like, you're going to have to say hi to him in front of the cameras when, like, G was said, like, that he doesn't have a relationship with this new guy, basically. Like,
I look, and those are the aspects that are messy Mia, right? Those are the moments where Mia's like, let me do something that's going to be funny for the cameras. And
well, I think it's also though, Mia, like, I feel like Mia, it's like, she doesn't even, like, in her mind, I'm calling for the operation of her mind now, but, like, feel like it's not weird. Like, she's
not.
The camera's not even there when she's like, hey, say hi to him on the FaceTime. Like, you know, you guys are friends, right? It's just like, Mia, you're like, I don't know.
It speaks to the relationship that she's had, you know, it speaks to how the relationship she has had with men in her life and with her family. And I think ultimately what Mia wants is she just wants everybody to be happy. Like, that is the thing about Mia, is that she's just basically a groodle.
So when is Karen going to finally come out as
about Ray?
Ethically non-monogamous?
I don't know if we're ever going to hear about it, but I think that that's, And this is something that's actually really annoying me about Potomac as well. It's like the themes of Potomac are nobody taking accountability for anything that they've done to hurt other people. The main way that we're going to go after people is like everybody's husband is cheating on them. Like every single person who is married or in a relationship on this show, at some point, the only thing we have is that their husband has cheated. In some instances, it's been found true. Ashley. And I feel like those people as well, because they've had it happen to them, they're so determined to like have it happen to other people. Like Karen just doesn't care anymore. And obviously Candace was like done with it. And good luck ever trying to catch Eddie cheating on Wendy. That's like never going to happen.
Happy Eddie.
Happy Eddie. And look what he did with it, you know. So it's just the themes of the show are just so negative and so boring, especially now that we live in an ethically non-monogamous society. Who cares? All of your husbands cheat. Cheat back. That's what I want the narrative to be. Why are you not cheating too, you know?
Well, and that's Mia's story, isn't it? Like, she was the one that was cheating in the end.
But she wasn't really cheating. She just fucked up by being too public.
Well, no. Well, I think she was emotionally cheating on G, right? Because the arrangement was you can have sex with this guy, but keep it to yourself and don't bring the kids into it. And she broke those rules, right?
Well, that's the thing. In these sorts of relationship, there has to be rules.
And she fell in love. And I think that's the thing. I think Mia fell in love. And then that's when the rules became like they went out the window because she kind of lost her inhibitions in that regard.
100%. So, I mean, those were the observations for me. I found the reunion, I don't know, what did you think of the reunion? I found it overall incredibly disappointing. It got nowhere. The highlights were Gordon.
I think I agree that Gordon's bipolar, reveal was, I wasn't expecting that. Like, truly when that, like, you know, because they were teasing it for like 2 weeks, when he's like, some of you may have known about this or have thought it, but like, and then I was thinking he was going to say that he had had sex with someone, or that Mia and him weren't together for like the last 10 years. Like, I don't know. Like, I was waiting for anything else. Right. I just wasn't expecting that. I think Kay was a highlight. I think she held her own at the reunion. I think she went after Ashley, the aftermath, apologizer. I think that, I agree. It didn't, you know why? It didn't go anywhere, because not only are they like unwilling to take accountability, but I also just think that there was this like, there's this real, I want to call it like snobbiness as well. Like, and it's from, it was from the right hand side of the stage. It was Giselle and Robin. And like, even like the way that it started, right, was Andy saying, today I want to find resolution within this group. I want to be able to get everyone onto the next season, basically. You know, can you all agree today that you're going to be an active participant in that, right? And the whole left side couch was like, yep, I'm on board with that. Karen's like, yep, I'm on board. Neka was exempt because she was a non-entity in this show. And then it was down to Robin and Giselle. And they were both kind of like, Giselle's response was, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the accountability. Like, i.e., I'm not taking any. Everyone else better be, though. And Robin was kind of like, yeah, okay, I guess so. Like, no effort required from her.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the other thing that I want to call out is, this is not the first time we've seen Andy start off with the manifestation. He did the same thing with Miami, right? So we're starting to see this trend, because I think one of the things that's happened recently with a lot of the franchises, especially the ones where there's had to be recasting, is like, we're starting to see like Andy also just completely like not keep his cool at the reunions anymore. And he's like literally having opinions. Like, he's telling them, you know, I didn't really like the season this year. I didn't really like the show this season either. Like, he's letting them know as well that you're not just like, I'm a fan of you. I watch you as well. And you disappointed me.
It, you know what it is? He's just being the manager, right? And it's performance review time. And it's like, I don't want to have to fire you. I really like you. We want you to succeed in your role, and we're going to try and get you there. And then there comes a certain point where you go, well, look, don't say we didn't try to help you, but now it's time to let you go, right?
Now that you're a manager, you really love to just put in like your little manager speaks. Guys, you should all add Patrizia on LinkedIn. No, but you're absolutely right. That's the energy that it's coming from. I think what we needed in this reunion was Nicki Minaj. I hate to say it. We might have needed Nicki back. But
I think it's not just as well the lack of accountability. I think it's like almost like a lack of education as well. I think Giselle, like, I don't know, she took the colorism discussion and just fucking pissed all over it and then set it on fire. Like, I don't feel like she came in with any intent but to sort of just blame Candace for death threats. It's like,
no, that is fair. I'm gonna do something I never thought I would do. In Giselle's defense, it actually pains me to say this, these women have had so many seasons to actually have a really good discussion on screen, not at the reunion, but through the show around colorism. But I have to agree with Giselle that now that I was reminded of what Candace said last season specifically, and her choice of words, because she's the word queen, it really, I really hated it. Like, Giselle is obviously lighter skinned, but she's not white passing. Like, I can show you what white passing is, and it's not Giselle. Like, yes, she's definitely at the lighter shade. She's got the green eyes, but there is nothing about Giselle where I'm like, where you hear her, you see her, the way she is, where you're going, that is a white woman. Like, that's not, Giselle has not, the thing is that when Candace says something, says it the way she says it, she is taking away any agency that Giselle has as a proud Black woman. This is a woman, again, who did the historically Black universities, right? The HBCUs. You know, this is a woman who was the first lady in the Black church. Like, this woman, this is somebody who has done everything that she can to reinforce her Blackness. We saw that her father was taking people to Louisiana and taking them through the history of slavery. She is explaining to you why she is the color that she is, that she comes from these Creole origins, that, you know, when you look back in her history, her light skinnedness is probably going to be attributed to some real trauma, some real stripping back of identity. And to have somebody say to you, or to imply that you get to walk through this world as a white person or whatever without fully understanding your experience. Yes, we can generalize colorism and say that there are, you know, different privileges based on the tone of your Blackness or your brownness. But the way Candace said it last season, I totally understood where Giselle was coming from, because it's basically like she just stripped Giselle of her entire identity as a Black woman. It's horrible, Patty.
I think so the other side of this is that and it's two things. Well, actually, it's the same thing.
Well, like, seven things can be true, so it's fine.
So, first of all, when, like, Karen was like, there is no other show on this network that is more qualified to discuss this, and Wendy was like, I don't think any of us are qualified for this as a group to discuss this.
But what they could have done, Patricia, is we could have had, even if it was fake, they could have had somebody come in on the show, talk about colorism, bring the girls in, bring their kids in, right?
I think so then to next point on that is then how Robin was like, nobody has ever confronted me about this issue in the entire time that this show has been on until you came along and did it. And it was really horrible. Katie Rost in like season one tried to talk about the whole biracial colorism of it all.
In the first season, they did it when they were talking about Ashley. When they first met Ashley, they were like, what kind of Black are you? Like, that was literally something that I think Katie said. And Katie was having the discussion because Katie at the time was married to a white man and had 25 biracial children. We all forget that Katie had like seven children. Do you remember that?
Yeah, so like again, it's this thing of like Robin being like, I've never had this discussion. Nobody's ever. It's
the green-eyed bandits came from that discussion. And it's funny that you say that, because Robin is actually the only person who I think has addressed her color on the show. She had her parents on the show and they talked about it.
It's just, I don't know. I'm glad Robin's gone. And I think Giselle, she was really fucking nasty on this reunion.
She was. But the revisionist history is crazy on this show.
Oh, it's just, it's something else. And I think that, one, she's empowered to be that way because she thinks that she's untouchable. Because at the end, like, I don't know if you've seen this one floating around the internet, but it's like, the moment that they crown Angie as the Duke, they were like, and that's how Giselle was secured her next season on the show. Like, she just, I think she thinks she can say and do anything at this point. And she's just, I don't know, delusional. She's the Lulu.
Well, this has been my issue with Giselle the whole time. And I seem to recall her being your favorite. But she, it's the Kyle of it all. There are certain, and so this is the point that I think Candace has been trying to make, which is that the perception, whether Giselle likes it or not, in society, just Candace is always going to be seen as the aggressor. She over Giselle. That's just the way we've been socialized, and that does have to do with who with the color of their skin and who is lighter and who is darker. That's just facts. That's just the world. And I think that that's what should have been said. But I think, you know, Giselle, I am not a Giselle fan because she is, much like Kyle, one of the biggest hypocrites on this show, in Housewives history. Gets away with absolute murder. I'm pretty sure she's actually killed someone on the show and gotten away with it.
I think, you know, her laughing at like Candace crying, and I feel like it kind of happened multiple times. I feel like one was like when Candace is like full on crying, and then it was also like when Candace was crying listening to Giselle. Like, I think Giselle, like, Giselle almost lacks empathy. Like, I think Giselle just, like, didn't understand, like, why, how Candace can be sad hearing the story about Giselle's dad passing away, but still not get along with her. Like, you know, and it's the thing of, like, well, you can have humanity and be sad for someone, even though you hate their guts, right? But it was that, like, final bit at the end when they're discussing, like, this, like, brawl that happened at G&A, right? And she was like, I'm holding the following people, like, accountable for, like, why this happened, right? And it was, like, Kayana, it was Wendy, it was, like, Candace. Like, she basically said Karen was, like, you know, the reason why the brawl broke out. Like, that's, she may as well have just said that, you know? And it's just that thing of, like, Giselle. Like, one, you weren't there when the fight broke out, you had gone, and two, like, you can't just keep blaming Wendy and Candace for all of your problems, like, because they're not actually the problem here. Like, the problem truly was Deborah. Like, Deborah came in her athleisure with her hair tied back and no earrings in because she knew she was gonna smack someone at this fight, right? Like, and she tried it with Mia, as Mia told her. She tried it with her. Mia gave her dust, right? And she goes to Candace, and Candace is unfortunately the one that, you know, will take the bait. How Giselle has somehow spun that into Wendy is responsible for the brawl. She's joking.
She takes it back, right? It's so weird.
Well, because I think she's watching, like, even Andy be like, are you fucking kidding me?
I think one of the things that is very clear when it comes to Giselle and Robin specifically is they do start off friends with everyone. And as soon as you do something, and this is what happened with Wendy, if we go back to all those seasons ago, it was the moment they can knock off your crown. Like, you know, Giselle did this with Monique specifically, and she did it with Wendy as well. She does not like it if people, I think there is this thing of she needs to be on top. She likes to do whatever she can do to keep people below her. And, you know, it's the same thing with Karen. Like, they like to shit on Karen, but they live their lives with, like, they've got to stick up their butt as well, you know? Well,
I think there's even, like, you know, obviously in the fight between Monique and Candace, where Monique assaulted Candace, right? Giselle was literally like, I do not condone this. I am not going to film with you. I'm not going to have you around. Like, you're done, right? She brought security and all the rest of it. Then Deborah assaults Kayana in an attempt to assault Candace, we can assume, right? And Giselle's like, oh no, Candace, it's your fault. Oh, like, what's the problem with Deborah? Like, oh, Ashley is not responsible here. It's like, and this goes to Candace's argument, right? The line is always moving, right? It's how can you play this one way and then the same situation or a similar one happens and you can have, like, a completely different take on the whole thing.
It all relates back to who are you to them?
Yes.
And that is why this show needs to be boycotted and it's flopping.
Well, look, I think there's hope for the future. I think that removing Candace from this group is probably a good idea. I think that, you know,
they removed Giselle instead and they had kept Candace. Imagine removing both of the green-eyed bandits.
I mean, look, if you're truly trying to destroy this show, yes, that's what you would do. But I think the logical choice here was, you know, Candace obviously either wanted out or there was a discussion about a mutual departure. But, you know, you're removing, you know, the match. And I think getting rid of Robin, like you said earlier, you know, like now Giselle's going to have to, like, shop and work, right? I think it's going to be interesting to see whether this is like an Erica and a Lisa Rinna dynamic. You remove one of them and the other one actually has to, like, readjust. I think Giselle is going to pivot to having Karen now as her new bandit, and the interesting thing will be is that Karen's not going to put up with all of Giselle's shit in the same way Robin did.
Going to be very, very interesting.
Do you think that beyond what we already know, there is any more departures or exits at this point?
I think Wendy is going.
When will that be announced, do you reckon?
I think she's potentially, like, because she can't even be a friend of, because whose friend would she be?
I think that was one of the interesting things that I've seen commentary on, is that Necker brings up this argument of, like, Wendy was purposely trying to ice me out of the group. And they were like, Necker, you're friends with everyone and Wendy, like, is friends with no one. So, like, who's being iced out?
Correct. I think, you know, Mia, want to see where the road takes her. Karen is just entertaining. I had to quote Giselle just then, and I wouldn't mind going back to Suri. I would have liked to have seen, believe it or not, Candace and Wendy stay on. I do think Ashley needs to be demoted. Yeah.
I just think that, you know, Ashley is such a bad housewife. I just don't think that she can stay. And I think that the proof is in the fact that she was an active participant in bringing Deborah to an event where she knew that Deborah was going to cause trouble, because that's what Deborah has done every single time she's been on the screen, because she is thirsty to be on this show. And I actually think that we gave her too much airtime even on the reunion. You know what I mean? I feel like every time they said her name, Deborah was at home, like, laughing a little louder, like
100%. But Ashley at the end of the couch and getting, like, very little screen time. The fact that, you know, she's not actually divorcing Michael, like, I think that the producers are going to be like, we're not interested. And to be honest, your husband just causes us more problems.
What do you think of this whole argument or this H&N theory that Ashley's not actually getting divorced? It's all a thing for the show. I kind of think that it checks out, because it's a convenient reason as to why Michael Darby doesn't have to be on the show.
So I don't agree that it's for the show. I do agree that she's taking that the divorce is taking its time because she's not getting many money. If she gets divorced, I think she's trying to figure out what she needs to do to be able to secure her dollars.
Yeah, but I think Michael's going to have the better
representation. Ultimate. I think he had everything ironclad when he met her. Just before we round out the episode, I forgot to ask you, Mia, inheritance, do we believe it?
Yeah, my favorite part was she said it on Watch What Happens Live as well, and she was like, fortunately for me, three of my grandparents died around a similar time. And I was like, she was like, oh, well, like, unfortunately, but, like, fortunately.
I mean, she's not wrong.
So okay, I think
that checks out.
And I think obviously now, again, that we know that G has, you know, bipolar disorder, that like, you know, I think that his manic episodes probably paid into a lot of his financial issues as well, right? So it checks out to me that there could have been a point where Mia had more cash than G. And I think Mia is the kind of girl as well that, you know, she's probably grown up in a world where she's like knows how to save money as well. Like I think whereas G is the kind of person that's, you know, new money. I can see him, you know, with the likes of the men in Atlanta going to the strippers and blowing $10,000 in a night and all the rest of it, right?
She's a hustler. On that note, let's call it a day. Goodbye, Potomac. You were cute while you lasted.
In memoriam, 2016 to 2024.
Hashtag boycott Real Housewives of P. All right, so I will not be back next week. Will you be back?
I think there may be a spring break, a fall pause. We've been put on pause, Moshi.
A fall pause. Well, listeners, I will be taking a two-week hiatus. I am actually, little update, I'm going to be filming. I'm filming Housewives of... Do you think if I was pregnant, I'd just take 2 weeks off? I'm taking my full maternity leave. You forget that I own 51% of this podcast.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'm shutting the podcast down.
Sorry, you were saying you're filming. Sorry, I interrupted.
I was going to tell you that I was about to be part of the filming of Real Housewives of New York.
Who are you coming on as a friend of?
Definitely not a friend of. I was just going to be a little extra in the background, but it's not that interesting anymore now. So thanks for ruining it, Patrizio.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Uber because you're both from the African continent and that's how the producers are going to like make it happen.
Yeah. We're both from the African continent. I sound like I'm really from the African continent. Anyway, this podcast is definitely done. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Moshi.